Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, offering financial products and services specifically for the agriculture industry, including farm real estate and operating loans, crop insurance, and point-of-sale financing, as well as farm cash management solutions.
From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 16th day of March 2015. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. And a bit later in the program, the folks at the Andersons from right here in Champaign County will join us to take a look at the cash grain market. We'll also discuss the weather forecast, that with guys up at Earth Risk Technologies. Along the way, your director of ag programming, Dave Dickey, will be here with the Ag News, and I'll tell you about tonight, that's right, tonight's event right here in Champaign County at the Farm Credit Illinois building there in Mahomet. That's the southern part of the state's headquarters. It's a great big building on the corner of I-74 and Prairie View Road at 6:30. Our event tonight with an Ag Outlook panel and a special brand new look at John Newton. Hope we can see you there tonight. More on that as we make our way through this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report. It comes to you from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Well, let's check the numbers as they finished up in Chicago for this Monday afternoon. Futures in the corn pit were down a penny and a quarter at $3.79 in the May contract today. July at $3.87, down one. September at $3.94 and three quarters lower. And December futures down a half cent at $4.04 and a quarter. March corn unchanged today at $4.13 and three quarters. May soybeans at $9.69 and a quarter on settlement price, down four and three quarters. July at $9.73 and three quarters, down four and a quarter. And August beans, $9.72 and a half, down four. November at $9.51 and a half, a penny and three quarters lower. January futures at $9.56 and a half, down 1.5 cents. Bean meal on the lead option at $3.2370, down $3.30. The bean oil at $30.39, down a dime for the day. Wheat futures were higher nearby May contract in the soft red, up 12 cents at $5.14. The soft red, the hard red at 15 and three quarters higher in the May. July, by the way, in the soft, up 13 and a quarter at $5.16 and a half cents. Live cattle futures now lie, and they finished at $153.10 in the April, down $1.17 and a half for the day. June at $144.80, 47 and a half cents lower. Feeder cattle in the March at $2.12 and a nickel, down $1.07 and a half. And lean hogs were a nickel lower at $62 and a nickel in the April contract. This is Illinois Public Media.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
In the outside markets, crude oil at this hour trading the April at $43.88 a barrel, down 96 cents for the day. Heating oil, 8 tenths of a cent lower at $1.70 and 4 tenths of a cent. That's diesel fuel. Gasoline on the RBOB wholesale price, $1.73 even, down 3 1/10 of a cent for the day. And the natural gas at $2.72 and 9 tenths of a cent, up 2 tenths of a cent. Ethanol futures are finished up at a half cent lower at $1.43 and 9 tenths for the day. Dow Jones Industrial Average up about 250 points at this hour at 17,977. Gold futures finished at $1,153 or thereabouts. They were up a buck for the day. And the U.S. dollar at 99.44. That's down 0.874 on the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast looks like for the Urbana-Champaign area today. Mostly sunny skies, a beautiful 76. That's right, 76 degrees outside on a southwest wind at about 17 miles an hour. Tonight, clear with a low of 40 degrees. Tomorrow, sunny and 51. That's a pretty good drop, but still pretty warm. Breezy, a north wind at 15 to 23. And then Tuesday evening, clear and a low of 26. Mostly sunny on Wednesday at a high of 49 degrees. Wednesday night, cloudy and 33. Thursday, sunny and 50. Friday, sunny and 54. Saturday, sunny and 57. And by the time we get to Sunday, it'll be mostly sunny with a 47-degree high. More on the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of this half hour.
Support comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 12th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's ag programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold is at AgriGold.com.
On the phone line with us now to take a look at these marketplaces is Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois for this Monday afternoon. Hi, Kurt. How are you today?
Good. Thank you, Todd.
Well, let's start with wheat futures because it seemed to be where a good portion of the action happened, at least at the end of the day, and maybe something happened that I didn't see during the day. But there was quite a nice little gain in the wheat, up 12 cents, I think, in the nearby Chicago. Why did that happen?
Yeah, it took wheat a little time to get going. Most of the activity was filling out the basketball brackets from last night and early this morning. Once that job was
go NIT, right?
Yeah. Once that job was accomplished, everybody picked Illinois and ISU in the final for the NIT. We lost interest after that. But anyway, long story short, you're correct. Wheat market saw the most excitement. It is a combination of things. Probably the one thing that sticks out the most is the western wheat belt. Extremely dry in some areas, especially you get into Kansas on in up to Nebraska, and not a whole lot of rain in the forecast. Then also too wet weather in the southern part of the U.S. Some pretty good flooding in some areas there. So weather has taken the front issue here in the U.S. and also in Europe. We're seeing some weather concerns in Europe, and that generates some ideas that wheat probably need to be bought. Huge speculative short position in wheat. They sold wheat for the last 6 months and bought everything else against it on the spreads. The wheat market had an outside up day today, huge turn. It's called Turnaround Monday for wheat. We're starting to close above some moving averages. The funds were estimated to be short over 67,000 contracts. So if we can kind of hold in there fundamentally and technically, there's ideas this July wheat could take a run up back up towards that 550 area here over the near term. So buying wheat, selling corn, buying wheat, selling beans, just a lot of activity in the buy wheat side today, Todd.
I suppose it is important to note that the Northern Hemisphere produces a great deal more wheat, although we talk about the Argentine and the Australian wheat crop quite a bit in the wintertime. The Northern Hemisphere far and away produces much more wheat than the Southern Hemisphere. So this does make a difference and will be watched, I suppose, very closely all the way through the July summer time frame when harvest begins for the wheat crop across the northern part of the planet.
Yeah, we'll see, weekly crop progress reports, and see how that materializes. But we got to remember, though, we got a huge inventory of wheat worldwide. So in order to move sharply higher from here, we're going to have to see, a quick freeze to do some damage and continue dryness, worldwide. So it's something to watch in through here. Just everybody just been a little too negative wheat. And so if you're bullish, wheat's something to watch here over the next couple of weeks.
And I suppose the other note of interest is that the United States, while it does export wheat, is not one of the larger players in that marketplace.
Well, if you want to play the dollar talk, we're at most of the time been more expensive in the world market. We've even had some export incentives, especially to Egypt, and they've bypassed us here in the past. It seems globally here we're having a tough time. Seems like feed wheat went into the feed ration share for a short period of time, so we'll see if the market goes higher to deter that type of usage as we move into mid-spring.
Looks like the corn and the soybeans both had a fairly narrow trading range for the day. Any expectations that volatility will return to this market soon?
Well, it'll get volatile at the end of the month, one way or the other, according to...
Oh, yes, the prospective plantings report is due out, isn't it? Yes.
Yeah, we might have a little action Friday. I think Inform is supposed to be out Friday with their numbers. It'd be short-lived, though. But these corn tested $4. Psychological area to watch. the lows, though, in general, in corn and beans was just, well, a little above the lows we had there into January 1st of February, so it's going to be kind of important for those levels to hold. We continue to kind of ship previous sales that we made out of the country here. Export shipments are, you know, fairly decent here. I don't expect any new business, for say, to come, but as long as we keep selling what we've moved here, we'll see what happens. You know, more of a concern on old corn. You know, a lot of calls about old corn, and through your guys get kind of a little nervous on old corn. It seems like there's just a lot of old corn to be marketed yet. Our best bet is, as we go into spring and through here, basis firm up and hold in there to give guys an opportunity to get out from under that. But corn and beans, you know, we'll see what the acreage expectations are at the end of the month here. Then we'll put some type of yield on it. Then we'll go from there. The summer weather will be the main market maker here as we get more into May, June, and July.
Are you, like the farmers, concerned about the price of old crop corn and thinking they need to be taking some action at this time?
Well, I think we need to be continuing to pushing it out the door. You know, we've put price floors on it. We did quite a bit of hedging way back when. For a long time, July futures around that $4 area. We've been sitting on those positions for a while, but we need to get her moved because our fear is that we'll wait until summer, and if we have a big crop, then everybody and his brother will want to move grain to make room for the new crop. So, you know, we continue to feel, you know, there's risk to the downside in through here. We don't look for a big massive sell-off because, you know, there's good demand in the market too. So we feel corn's probably going to be more in a trading range here as we go through the growing season.
Any other agricultural issues you're beginning to get good or bad vibes about that you hear about from your customer base or others that you talk to or places that you have been reading online?
Not particularly. Main thing is that you know, guys have just been tight holders here, and just not willing to step up and be sellers here yet. You know, we'll see how which way the wind blows here as we move down the road.
In the livestock sector, we probably ought to discuss just a little bit bird flu, its impact, potential, and whether the marketplace is beginning to pay more attention to it.
I started out with just an isolated case, I believe, in Minnesota. Now it's showed up in Kansas. Asia's been dealing with bird flu for years and years, and you know, that's not a bully situation. So hopefully they'll be able to isolate and start to get that under control, because that's, you know, the last thing we need is, you know, concern about that coming here to the U.S. and sticking around.
All right. Hey, thanks so much for taking the time with us today.
Very good. Take care. Thanks, Todd.
You too. That, of course, is Kurt Kimmel. He's with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Joins us on this Monday afternoon edition of the Closing Market Report. Just a quick reminder that if you'd like to catch up with a little bit more about the marketplace and you haven't had your fill of ARC and PLC, and you're thinking, hey, wait a second, these prices for corn have gone sometimes low enough that I might reconsider some decisions I've made. And you can make different decisions even after you've enrolled, at least through the end of this month, or through the end of March. You might visit with us tonight at the Illinois Farm Credit Building there in Mahomet. I'll have a panel of analysts that include Bill Gentry and Wayne Nelson, along with Merrill Crowley, and then John Newton, ag economist at the U of I. Doors there open at 6:30, and John will be up at 7. We'll do the panelists at 7:30. Should be a really good evening. I hope that you can manage to make it out. Just some light snacks before that. So come on out around 6:30 to the Farm Credit Illinois building tonight. Now, here's Dave Dickey with today's agricultural news.
The chairman of the House and Senate budget panels plan to release their budget plans this week. The House on Tuesday and the Senate on Wednesday. The non-binding measure, called a budget resolution, sets broad parameters on taxes and spending It requires follow-up legislation later this year to implement its balanced budget goals. It's expected the plans will propose major spending cuts to programs such as Medicare, health care subsidies, and food stamps. Budget hawks would also like to go further, reopening the farm bill to reconsider subsidy programs approved last year. Seven national organizations that are members of the Beef Checkoff Enhancement Working Group have reached an agreement on how to proceed with the campaign to increase the beef checkoff from $1 per head to $2 per head. The MOU stated that within a year of any legislation becoming law, a referendum would be held by beef producers and beef imports to increase the assessment. If a majority of the beef checkoff program payers indicate they would like to see the increase, the assessment rate would rise. Checkoff fees will continue to be collected as they are now, and state beef councils will have the authority to retain 50% of the fees collected. Three organizations, the National Farmers Union, the U.S. Cattlemen's Association, and RCAF USA, are opposing the increase. They argue the increase does not provide enough management and oversight reform for the checkoff. OPEC today says that U.S. oil production could start declining by the end of this year, in contrast with an energy watchdog's report last week saying a resilient North American oil boom could dent prices. In its closely watched monthly market report, OPEC said growth in U.S. oil output was set to halve this year because of lower rig counts. The organization had originally said production of U.S. oil would start falling in 2018. On Friday, the International Energy Agency said U.S. oil output was surprisingly strong in February as oil companies focused on the most prolific oil plays. The IEA said U.S. growth would slow, not decline, in the second half of this year. OPEC raised its forecast for global oil demand by 50,000 barrels a day to 93.33 million barrels a day. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. A couple of special notes for the day. The All Day Ag Outlook panels are all posted to our website at willag.org, both as video and audio. You can check those out at willag.org. There you'll find also a link to our calendar of events. If you check in it, you'll find that tonight we'll be at the Farm Credit Illinois building. That's just off of Interstate 74 in Mahomet. It's the headquarters building for the southern half of the state. So Farm Credit Illinois in Mahomet, Prairie View Road and I-74 at 6:30. We'll kick things off with John Newton. I have taken a quick look at his PowerPoint presentation for tonight. It's a really good final presentation. Gives you a good idea of what ARC County and PLC will differ like based on the very latest of information, and you can still make some other decisions if you've already entered those. It's not too late. You have to the end of the month. So John Newton will take you through that. He's got some really good information just about grains and oilseeds, both in that PowerPoint. And then we'll take up the marketplace in greater detail with Bill Gentry and Dwayne Nelson and Merrill Crowley. Our regular panel of analysts, along with John Newton, starts at 6:30 tonight. It's free, open to everybody. Come on out to the Farm Credit Illinois building in Mahomet. That's off of I-74 at the Prairie View Road exit. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason. Feeding a heifer dairy calf properly during cold weather can mean up to 1,500 extra pounds of milk during her first lactation period. You can get more milk from a cow if you treat it right as a calf, says University of Illinois dairy specialist Phil Cardoso. This is especially the case if those calves are fed a proper maintenance diet during periods of cooler, not necessarily cold, weather when they are very young.
We are talking about a usual milk replacer that is 20% fat and 20% crude protein. They call it 20-20. So, for example, a calf with 110 pounds, and if outside is 50 degrees, for that calf, 4 quarts would be okay at 50 degrees. But if you go to 41 degrees, now you need 4.26.
The temperature at which additional feed is needed to keep the calf operating at a maintenance level for growth, well, that one's not so low. It starts at 59 degrees Fahrenheit. To this end, Illinois uses a simple table to guide dairy farmers in how much extra milk replacer a young calf would need when it's cold stressed. The table has temperatures on one side of the graph and the calf's weight on the other.
We are talking about the usual milk replacer that is 20% fat and 20% crude protein. They call it 20-20. So, for example, a calf with 110 pounds, and if outside is 50 degrees, for that calf, 4 quarts would be okay at 50 degrees. But if you go to 41 degrees, now you need 4.26.
The colder it gets, the more milk replacer the calf needs in its regular maintenance diet, at least if the goal is to achieve an extra 1,500 pounds of milk once the calf becomes a cow. Those wanting to view the easy-to-use University of Illinois Dairy Calf Maintenance Diet table will find it on the Dairy Focus website. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason. On this Monday afternoon, let's turn our attention to the cash grain market. Amy Sage is on the phone line from the Andersons right here in Champaign County. Good afternoon to you, Amy. Thanks so much. It's a beautiful day. You busy there?
It is. It's beautiful. So no, not really. Had a little bit of a red day on the screen, and it's very nice out. So not a very busy day phone traffic-wise. We're seeing a little bit of grain, but Not overwhelming by any stretch today.
So that probably has given you time to talk amongst yourself, maybe some of the peers at the other facilities. What kinds of ideas have you come up with as it concerns the price of both corn, soybeans, and wheat?
Yeah, so obviously we're all anxiously awaiting the acreage report on the 31st. You know, we've had some downward movement here last week and today on the board. Basis levels, incidentally, are staying strong, and we've improved here locally, and we're seeing that across our business in other locations as well. So I guess the weaker board, along with the lack of farmer movement, has kept us with the same story week after week here, firmer basis that we would have never anticipated with the crop size back at harvest time. We'll be looking forward to that 31st acreage report, seeing what corn acres are going to be. Obviously, we're in the same kind of camp as everybody else, thinking less corn acres, more bean acres. We're anxious to see how the market's going to react to that and encourage people to be thinking about that, get a marketing plan in place, whether that be with open orders to get those in, you know, in case we do see a rally, or with min-max giving yourself some upside potential there.
Yeah, very quickly, your bids.
Yes, 371 cash corn, fall corn's at 379, cash soybeans 961, fall beans 926, cash wheat 504, July 507.
Thank you.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois. For over 96 years, generations of farmers have turned to Farm Credit for their financial needs. Whether a young farmer or a seasoned grower, Farm Credit offers products and services geared specifically to the agricultural community.
It's National Artichoke Hearts Day. California provides nearly 100% of the U.S. crop, and 80% of that is grown in Monterey County, where the town of Castroville proclaims itself to be the artichoke center of the world, and which holds an annual festival featuring artichoke ice cream. On this day in agricultural history in 1819, the first clinical description of an allergy, hay fever, was delivered to a medical group in London. In 1864, Richard Roberts died, a mechanical engineer and inventor. he developed a bevy of practical machines, including the self-acting spinning mule, his most important contribution to the textile industry. Roberts is also known for the Roberts loom, which was widely adopted because of its reliability. In 1871, the first U.S. state fertilizer law was enacted in Delaware. The law proved a bust and had to be modified several times. And in 1914, Sir John Murray died. A Scottish naturalist, he coined the name oceanography, and he was one of the first to study ocean basins, deep sea deposits, and coral reef formations. And that's this day in agricultural history.
This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Bates Commodities in Normal. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
This is the Monday edition of the Closing Market Report. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. On the phone line to take a look at the weather forecast for the growing regions across the Midwest, the nation, and the planet is Mark Russo. He's with Earth Risk Technologies. Hi, Mark. Thanks for being with us. It's a beautiful, gorgeous day here, but 20 degrees will be the drop by the time we get tomorrow. That's going to feel pretty cool. Why does it come about?
Well, Todd, this unseasonably warm pattern, almost summer-like pattern that we're seeing here across sections of the Midwest, that's going to end here as another kind of Arctic front here begins to push into the Midwest. We're seeing more of an amplification of the jet stream again, and what we've seen over the past week is more of a zonal or Pacific base flow, and that's provided the much milder, nicer conditions here. But as the jet stream amplifies, that taps into some colder air across Canada, bringing it southward. Now, at least here in the Midwest going forward, we are going to see a lot of variability in temperatures, so we're not going to have as consistent cold weather as what we saw starting out the month, and obviously not as extreme as what we had starting out the month. As snow cover is now gone, and the Arctic air that's coming in is more directed into the northeast part of the country. So we're kind of on the western extent. We'll see a lot of variability in temperatures, but which kind of averages out to be more normal over time.
There is, on a different subject, some concern building about dry conditions, mostly in the western regions of the United States, in those hard red winter wheat growing regions, even to some extent for the soft red here in the state of Illinois. What can you tell me?
Yeah, we've certainly seen precip deficits build here, with the most anomalous conditions over the winter really being out across the west, especially in areas of California and up in the Pacific Northwest. So agriculture in the valley, Central Valley of California, as well as your winter wheat in areas of the Pacific Northwest have been the driest here overall. But that has impacted portions of the Plains hard red winter wheat belt, produced in some pretty big producing areas of Kansas, as well as in Oklahoma. And at least from a precip forecast standpoint, specifically in the heart of the Plains hard red winter wheat belt, we don't see any real significant precip or widespread events that would cause a market improvement. And then the dryness just continues out across the western U.S.
Now, have you been watching other places across the northern hemisphere as we move from winter months this week, in fact, to spring months?
Yeah, we're watching the situation in Russia from a weather standpoint here, as that's been a drier area on their wheat belt over the past couple of months. We do see a change in the pattern there coming up, actually starting next week, as the pattern looks to promote more precipitation across that region. So as their crop begins to come out of winter dormancy, especially in the southern areas, it looks like precip will be improving and thus soil moisture will be improving.
All right. Hey, thanks so much for taking the time with us today.
All right, my pleasure, Todd.
And that, of course, is Mark Russo. He's with Earthrus Technologies out of Chicago, Illinois. He joins us on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report. I hope you will join me and the crew tonight at the Farm Credit Illinois building. Registration starts at 6:30 with some, light refreshments. And then John Newton, Ag Economist, will be with us in one of our regular Will Ag panels. And by the way, don't forget the Vernal Equinox is this week. That is on Friday evening about 6 o'clock. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason.